Let's get into the Word of God tonight. Are you guys okay with that? Let's just dive right in. If you got your Bibles, how many of you guys got your Bibles here tonight? Let's turn. If you got your Bibles, we're going to continue on in the book of John in the 15th chapter. We're rounding about towards the end of that. And I'll tell you what, you know, now we're getting into, you know, a lot more general topics. In the beginning, we were hitting it, you know, word upon word. And now all of a sudden we begin to find Jesus towards the middle of the 15th chapter. Jesus begins to reiterate a lot of the teachings. So we picked up, if you remember last time we were in John before Thanksgiving, we talked about being game changers, the game changing message about Jesus Christ, about God himself, how we did not choose God, but rather God chose us, and therefore because God chose us, we therefore were able to choose him. And that was in the 16th verse. Here we read in John 15:16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Verse number 17 goes on to read, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Now, Jesus Christ had been talking about the topic of love earlier in the 15th chapter. He says in verse number 11, "These things I spoken to you, that my joy remain and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So we've already kind of talked about loving one another. It's a regular principle in the thought and the theology and the teachings behind Christianity to love. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that tonight. As a matter of fact, if you want to grab a hold of that, you can go back and you can check out what the Bible says about that. You can go online at shifthappens.com or Rock Church. Shift Happens Friday, or just go to rockchurch.com and find the Shift podcast where you can check out the message there for free about loving one another. But tonight I want to skip through to the 18th verse. 19th verse and the 20th verse. And this is one of those tough messages. If you were here this Sunday or this Saturday, I got the honor and privilege of doing the weekend message as well. And I was saying on the weekend that it was a tough message for me. It was something that I've had to experience. I've had to be living through. It's something that even in this very moment, as you can look around to the right, to the left, I find myself oftentimes in a wilderness area. And I believe that this is also one of those tough messages, one of those messages that are hard to digest, hard to swallow. It's one of those things that we don't necessarily always want to hear. You know, the Bible says in the end times that people will raise up teachers to themselves that would teach them things that would tickle their ears. And oftentimes we, as young people especially, but we as a church, oftentimes we want to hear messages that tickle our ears, things that make us feel good about ourselves, things that make us, you know, oh, great, praise God, oh, how wonderful, life is good, God is great. But, you know, the bottom line is that things aren't always going to tickle our ears. And in our lives, there's not always good times. There's not always bad times. It's seasons of harvest. There's seasons of sowing. There's seasons of reaping. There's seasons of preparation for that. There's all sorts of different events and seasons that go on in our lives. And I believe tonight that here Jesus is getting into a subject, getting into a topic, talking about himself, using himself as an example, but also showing us as the body of Christ, the people of God, what our place is in this place. So tonight, the title of tonight's message is Your Place in This Place. Our place in this place. Doesn't matter. Your place, our place. Add a Y in front of there. Doesn't matter. Our place in this place. And you know, our place in this place, not meaning this place being the church, not this place meaning the youth auditorium, not this place meaning Shift Young Adults, not this place meaning, you know, the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. This is meaning the world that we live in today. The air that we breathe, whoever it is, our family, our friends, everything that we do, everything that we touch, everything that we are involved in, that is our place. And what is our place in that place? Now, I should say that going into that, you know, I could talk about the message, say, oh, Pastor Luke, I know where you're going with that, your place in this place. You know, our place is to go. Jesus says in Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse number 19, verse number 18 and 19, you know, that is the Great Commission. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creation, every creature. So, you know, we know our place in this place is to go. To go into all the world, our place in this place, Jesus says, like I was praying in the prayer earlier, is that to be the light that Jesus shines. Jesus calls us the light of the world, the salt of the earth, to shine God's glory, to be the flavor, to be the preservative of God's grace and God's glory to those around us. That is our place. But tonight I want to talk to you out of John the 15th chapter about what Jesus says about our place in this place. And I want to give you some truths, some things that, especially for us young adults, I'll tell you, I don't know about you, I live this every day. All my life, you know, I grew up, I'll be open and honest with you tonight. You know, I grew up in the pastor's home. I grew up in a godly home. And there was a time, you guys may not be able to relate to this. Some of you may be able to relate to this. My life is what I call a fishbowl. All my life, everybody watched my family. All my life, everything my family did, we had to do with the idea that people were watching, waiting, hoping that Pastor Jim would mess up, that I would, you know, that I would make a bad decision, that my sisters would make bad decisions, whatever it might be. Or to see, well, this guy preaches the gospel, does he live it, so forth and so on. My life is a fishbowl. All my life, it's always been that way. You know, we always have a joke like, you know, my wife and I, whenever we try to go to Stater Brothers or whenever we try to go to the store, it's like, we, you know, sometimes you want to just go ghetto. Anybody been that way? You know, you get up early in the morning, you got that bedhead, and it's like, man, I got to go get some milk for breakfast. And it's like, I want to just roll up in my basketball shorts that got paint stains on them and my undershirt that's all nasty because I've been wearing it at night for like a month. But then it's like, you know, as soon as you do that, you say, oh, you know what? Nothing's not going to be a big deal. You go there and all of a sudden everybody's like, hey, Pastor Luke, what's up? And it's like, oh. Our life is a fishbowl. You know what the bottom line is, guys? Our life as Christians is a fishbowl. You know, just because I'm the pastor's son, just because my parents, you know, were the ones that started this church, and all my life I grew up with people watching me, people saying, oh, I changed your diapers in the children's ministry. Great. Our life as Christians is a fishbowl. Now, tonight I want to talk to you about our place in this place. In John the 15th chapter, if you got your Bibles, let's turn. We're there in John the 15th chapter, picking up. In verse number 19, Jesus Christ begins to speak to his disciples, and he says, if you were of the world would love its own. Speaking of this place. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Remember going back to that message of the game changer. I chose you out of the world, this world. Therefore, the world hates you. Verse number 20, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Verse number 21, it's not up on the overhead, but I'll just continue to read. He says, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sakes, because they do not know him, speaking of God, who sent me. So here Jesus Christ is telling the disciples of their place in the place that they're in, of the world that they're in. He says, listen, the world hates you. If you were of the world, they would accept you, you know. I'm going to give you three things out of these three scriptures tonight that I want you to grab a hold of. It's not an easy thing. It's not something that we necessarily may want to hear. As I'm writing down these messages, I'm thinking, man, wouldn't it just be easy to preach a message about the greatest story ever told? Nah, I'm just kidding. Pastor Joey brought a great message last week, and that was a good message. And it was a message that we needed to hear. But then Pastor Luke gets the honor of bringing the hard ones. Like, man, come on, dude. So anyways, tonight I got three simple things for you tonight. And you know, they may not be easy. They may not be things that we want to hear. But they are things that we as Christians, we as the body of Christ, if we're really going to do something for God. I don't know about you, but if we're really going to do something for God, and not just come and say it. You know, the Bible says that what profit does a man get if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? You know, the bottom line is at the end of my life, when it comes time for me to meet my Maker, when it comes time for me to see Jesus Christ face to face, aside from my family, aside from my son, aside from all the great and wonderful things that I've experienced in my life and all the negative things that I may have experienced in my life, I want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to be impactful for the life, for what God has called me to do. I don't want to just come to church on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday, on Wednesday, and just play church because that's my job, because that's what I get paid to do, or because, you know, that's because your friends are here, whatever. I want to come into this place. I want to come and do something for God. Why? Because it's what God has called me to do. I want to truly be a spirit-fed, a spirit-led Christian. I don't know about you tonight. So these are things tonight. While they may be tough, they may be hard to digest, they're simple concepts. I encourage you, if you grab a hold of these, they'll help strengthen you to understand what God has for you in this place tonight. Are you guys ready to get into the Word tonight? So Jesus Christ speaking in John the 15th chapter, talking about our place in this place. Jesus Christ in John the 15th chapter, verse number 19, Jesus Christ says, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet, because you are not of this world, knowing those bumper stickers and that clothing line, not of this world, but I chose you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. Now here Jesus Christ is not talking about bumper stickers. He's not talking about t-shirts. He's not talking about hooded sweatshirts. Jesus Christ is talking about you and I. And the game changer is that you and I, he chose us out of this world. So number one tonight, talking about our place in this place, is to realize that you are not of this world. Now, what does that mean, Pastor Luke? Does that mean that you are like an alien? Does that mean that you are like some, you know, goofy, weirdo person that all of a sudden, you know, you're different, you just don't fit in, you're not of this world? That sounds like, you know, Al for one of those old school sitcoms. Like, what are you talking about? You are not of this world. Jesus Christ says, if you are of the world would love its own. You know, my wife, to my utter dismay, loves those singing competition shows. Oh my goodness. And I watch them. She, you know, I can't argue. I watch them with her. each and every week I watch them with her. Sometimes I grovel and I complain and I moan and say, how can you watch this? But the bottom line is I watch it too. And you know, it was funny because last night on this particular singing competition show, one of the judges of the show herself performed. And there wasn't anything great or phenomenal or about the performance. It wasn't wonderful or great. But you know, the funny thing is that the judges, if you look back as we were watching them, I was showing them, like, they were all standing ovation and they were all singing her praises and, oh man, it's just so great. What you do for the industry. Oh, what you do for music. Oh, your revolution. And they all sing praises to themselves. I mean, you think about like the Academy Awards when you watch it. Could there be a better example of vanity than the awards? The Academy Awards, the Music Awards, the Grammys, the Country Music Awards, the Screen Actors Guild Awards. There's so many award ceremonies that these professionals, these industry people have for themselves. Why? Because if you were of the world would love itself. It's kind of the same thing. If you are of that industry, the industry loves itself. And as they begin to celebrate all the creativity of, oh man, the dance behind you was revolutionary. It just spoke volumes to me. And all I mean, meanwhile, everybody else is watching it going like, what? I do not understand. But they're just like, oh, the world loves itself. And if Jesus Christ says, if you were of this world, the world would love you. The world would take you in. They would give you the standing ovation. You'd fit right in just like a glove. But you know, the bottom line is Jesus Christ says, I have chosen you. I have called you out of this world. Now all of a sudden you and I find ourselves in a situation, in a place that we once were. Now all of a sudden we are not. The Bible says that, behold, all things are new. In the book of Corinthians, in the 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, he says, you know, old things have passed away, right? And we have become new. We are new creations in Christ. Now all of a sudden, a new creation, a new element, a new being in Christ. And now here Jesus Christ says, listen, if you were of the world, if you were that being that they sing of and that you know, you live the life exemplary of it, you fit into the mold, then they would accept you. There would be no qualms about it. But he says, here's the bottom line, is no longer have I called you to be of the world, but I have chosen you out of this world. So it's time for us to realize our place in this world is to understand that we are not of this world anymore. You guys with me tonight? You guys understand what I'm talking about? I am not preaching to you that you are aliens. You are not little green men from heaven. Yes, we are human. Yes, we are the same as our brothers and sisters. We have five fingers and on each hand, hopefully. We have five toes on each toe, on each foot, hopefully. Two ears, two eyes, two arms, two legs, so forth and so on. Yes. But the bottom line is in our spirit, in our soul, no longer are we of the world. No longer we have that creation that everybody else is. But now all of a sudden, we have been made different. We have been called. We have been chosen. We have been picked out of the world. God had called us and we responded. Now God has called those all around us. I don't want to teach to you predestination, saying that God chose you and not somebody else. Jesus Christ died on the cross for each and every person so that they might know God. It's our decision whether or not we receive that calling to God. And you and I are sitting in this place tonight, hopefully because we have heard the call and responded to it. So now all of a sudden Jesus Christ says, listen, you are not of this world. No longer are you of it. And in Galatians, the 4th chapter, if you got your Bibles, let's turn to Galatians in the 4th chapter. Here, Paul the Apostle is writing to the church, and he uses the example of a young child. In Galatians, the 4th chapter, I'm going to pick up in verse number 7, but I'll quickly read to you verse number 1 through 6. He says in the 4th chapter, while you're turning there, let me just read it to you. He says, now that I say that an heir is, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave, though he is the master of everything. So he says, because if you're an heir, if you have an inheritance coming, if you're a child, if you're under the age of 18 in our legal system, you are no different than a worker because because you're young. So that's what he's saying. Verse number 2, because it's under the guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, verse number 5, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption. All of a sudden, the adoption, speaking of you and I, we're not born naturally into the family of God yet. Jesus Christ came, born of a woman, born under the law. Why? That we might receive the adoption. God himself went down to the adoption agency of the world, looked at you and I and said, I'll take him. Now all of a sudden we have received the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son crying into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Verse number 7, therefore you are no longer a slave, but now a son, or if you're a girl, a daughter. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. Now all of a sudden, we have the ability to partake in the inheritance of Jesus Christ through God. We are now related to Jesus Christ through God. Now all of a sudden we have the ability to come before our Father. Now once before, it's like a kid. And here's the example I want to drive home to tonight. You and I once, if you think about it, as a child, maybe might go to his parents to see if he could go over to his friend's house. Can I go play with Billy, Mom? The mom has the authority. Now if Billy was to go to his friend's mom and say, can I go play with so-and-so? The mom's going to look at him and say, pfft. You're going to have to go ask your father. You're going to go have to ask your mother. Now all of a sudden you and I are adopted into the family. When we go before the Lord, now all of a sudden the authority is given to us. The authority is directed down to us. You know what the interesting thing about it is? I want to drive this example home to you. As a child may go out and play with his friends, may go out and do his things. What does he do? He comes home at night to his family. He sleeps in the bed of his house, of his room, of his family. Yet so often we who are not of this world go out, and we sleep in the bed of the world. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about now. We go out, and we, you know, as children, as heirs, like Galatians says, we go out, and we may do our thing. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. But all of a sudden, we say, you know what? I'm not going to come home tonight. I'm going to stay at Billy's house. And we stay in the bed of the world. When Jesus Christ says, listen, I have called you out. I have plucked you out. No longer are you an orphan. No longer are you a foster child. No longer are you a bastard child. Oh my gosh, did Pastor Luke just say that? Yes, I did. But now all of a sudden you are heirs with Jesus Christ. You have access to the throne. You have authority given to you by the name that is placed upon you. No longer are you a child who your last name you may not know. You may not know who your parents are. Now your last name is the same as that of God. Now all of a sudden your bloodline is the same as that of Jesus Christ. And you are children and heirs of God. And you are no longer of this world. You are now different. You are now not of this world. Are you guys with me tonight? We're talking about our place in this place, understanding our place in this place. Number one is we got to remember that we are not of this world. We're not of it. Things don't make sense. Things aren't going to make sense. As the music industry on those singing competition shows and the dancers and the things, you know, they try to corrupt what is good. Don't tell me that they're not. When they try to corrupt what is good and call it art, call it revolutionary, the world's going to love its own, but all of a sudden things aren't going to make sense to us because you know what? The spirit inside of us says, I am not of that family anymore. My family's of Jesus Christ. My family's of God himself on the throne. And we got to understand that. Number two tonight, speaking about our place in this place, is you don't fit in. Quiet in here. John, the 15th chapter, verse number 19. Jesus Christ, man, my Bible just automatically folds open to John the 15th chapter now. I just turned the pages and went right back to it. John the 15th chapter, the 19th verse says, if you were of this world, the world would love its own, yet because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the earth, therefore the world hates you. If you were of the world would love its own. Going on to say at the end, therefore the world hates you. Why? Because we are not of it. We don't fit in. Now, I'm not saying that you're the freckly-faced, redheaded kid that doesn't get picked for dodgeball. What I'm saying is no longer do you conform to the things of this world. You know the verse in the Bible says, do not conform to the things of this world, but be what? Transformed by how? Renewing your mind. Renewing our mind to understand why that God has called us, God has chosen us, God has plucked us out of the orphanage of this world and now called us into his family. And so now all of a sudden we are different. Things are different. The dynamic of our life is different. And now all of a sudden, because we are in God's family, we do not fit into the world. Yet so many times in our life, we try to go about this world. We try to fit in. We try to blend in. I was reading this book. I've been reading this book about the Spirit. And it was amazing. The author was writing about the Spirit. And he says, the church, you know, he says, what is the church? He says, sometimes the church can be a social gathering. The church, speaking of the body of Christ, the church can be a social gathering, a group, you know, of people who come together for a common reason. Why? Maybe because we're 18 to 28 years old. And he says, and that might all what it would be. But he says, imagine what would Paul the Apostle do? if he came back and he walked amongst you, and he walked amongst the aisles, and he looked upon you, and he saw your reaction, he saw your lifestyles, he saw how you went, and then maybe Paul the Apostle himself went back, and he examined a hockey game, he examined, you know, the sporting event, he examined the world, he examined those who were shopping, he examined life, and then all of a sudden he came back and compared that to you, what would he find? Because we as a church are called to be joyous. Our fruit, the fruits of the Spirit, is to be love, to love one another, to have joy. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, to have goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So what would Paul the Apostle come back? Would he see that we, the church, blend into those around us? Or would we stand out? Would we be different from those around us? Yet so many times in our life, myself included, church, I'm the same way. I am guilty as guilty can be of this. I thank God that I'm not alone. Paul the Apostle, talking about himself, says that he is the chief of sinners. I myself have been guilty of this. If we try to blend in, we try to remain under the radar so that, you know what? Nobody's going to know. And you know, it's not that we're trying to hide our faith. It's not that we're trying to, you know, not push anything on anybody. But the bottom line is we just don't want to have conflict. We don't want to have that type of, that awkward moment when you talk about Jesus and it gets silent among your friends. But the bottom line is, churches, if we're really going to grab a hold of the kingdom of God, if we're really going to grab a hold of being members of the body of Christ, like Galatians said, of heirs in God, you know what the bottom line is? Is now all of a sudden, we are different. We do not blend in. We shouldn't blend in. Why? Jesus Christ, like I prayed earlier, Jesus Christ says that we, the church, are a light upon a hill that cannot be hidden. On a clear day, when you look at the rim of the world, you can see the lights of those houses. There's nothing that can hide them except for a drape of clouds that covers them up. Now, what do we do in our life? Sometimes we become that drape of clouds, that stormy weather, whatever it might be, that tries to cover up that light when Jesus has called us to shine. Why? That we might reflect God's glory. We are the salt of the earth, he goes on to say. Salt is a preservative. Salt is a flavor. When you cook that dinner, when you make that macaroni and cheese out of that nasty powdery mix and you try to put it in your mouth, you say, pleh. You put some salt in there. Why? Because it adds a little bit of flavor. We are the flavor of the world. We are not supposed to be bland. We are not supposed to fit in. We are not supposed to be influenced by the things of this world, but rather we should be the influence to this world. That is the calling that God has for each and every one of us. That we are to be different. We are to stand out. That doesn't mean that we need to be on our soapbox in the middle of Black Friday when everybody's standing in line with a bullhorn preaching that everybody repent for the kingdom of God is nigh. You guys know who I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. But you know what the bottom line is there was people that were effective in each and every way. And that's why Jesus Christ tells us that we are members of one body. We all have different purposes. You know what? John the Baptist was that type of person. If John the Baptist was in this type of day and age, he would be that guy standing on a soapbox in the middle of Black Friday on those lines preaching to them, talking about you better repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. So we shouldn't knock those people. If that's what God has called them to do, maybe they've been effective in their way. But the bottom line is you and I should not be the same as the person next to us. You and I should not be the same as those at our work, those at our school, those that are fighting for the rights, those who are saying that, you know, oh, it's okay to do this, oh, it's all right to do that, that I was born this way, whatever it might be. It is not our design, it's not our effect that God would have us to be the same as them, but rather to be different. And because we are different, Jesus Christ says the world hates us. You know, Jesus Christ, the world didn't hate Jesus Christ because he was born in Nazareth. The world didn't hate Jesus Christ because he was a carpenter's son. The world didn't hate Jesus Christ because, you know, maybe he had a beard and he wore a sash and a white gown and a blue sash. Who knows if that's really what he even wore? The world didn't hate him because of that. The world hated him because he was different. The world hated him. The Pharisees, the religious people of his day, hated him. Why? Because he made waves. Church, aren't we supposed to make waves in our lives? Are we supposed to sit and, you know, receive God and raise our hand to that altar call and pray that prayer and then all of a sudden remain the same? Or are we supposed to be people who make waves in our workplace, make waves in our schools, make waves in our families? Jesus Christ all of a sudden brought to them and said, listen, I am God. They hated him to the point they sent him to the cross. Church, you and I, we are different because we ought to be making waves. In the book of 1 Peter, I don't have it up on the overheads, in the King James Version, second chapter, he says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and the King James Version calls us a peculiar people. I think of the example of whenever I do something, I have two dogs at home. It's kind of fun. Sometimes I'll tease them. Sometimes I'll mimic them. And sometimes I'll try to get something out of them. And my dogs always have this look when they're confused. They go, hmm? And if you've ever seen a dog kind of jerk their head a little bit to the side and go, the world ought to look at us like, Why? Because we don't make sense. When we're sick and we have joy, when we're going through times of wilderness, and the Bible says to count it all joy, why? So that the testing of our faith might produce patience. When you know, we proclaim that we don't have to accept that sickness upon us, when we proclaim that we don't have to accept the things of this world, when we say, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're spiritual, they say, why? Because we are different. We are a peculiar people. We are the people of God, the children of God. And church, it is our time to stand out. It is our time to be the salt of the earth. It is our time to be that light, that city upon a hill. To not just blend in. That's not what God has called us to be. God has called us to be those who stand out. God has called us to be those who do not blend in. God has called us to be those who stick out. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of my life of just going about the motions. I'm tired of my life about just doing things like, you know, like just the bare minimum. You know what? I want to go full-fledged. I don't want to tuck my tail between my legs. What's the worst that they can say? No. We go and share the love of Jesus Christ and do what God has called us to be. Are you guys with me today? Finally today, real short, real easy. Number three tonight about our place in this place. Persecution is a part of us. That's the part where I said, you know, say, Pastor, look, the first two were great. This is the one that we don't want to hear. This is the one that we kind of want to, like, skate by. We try to hope that maybe it's going to, you know, it'll get them but not me. Woo, that was a close call. But the bottom line is persecution is a part of us. In John the 15th chapter in the 20th verse, Jesus Christ is speaking. He says, remember the word that I said to you, that a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will also keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Persecution, church, is a part of us. Because Jesus Christ himself was persecuted. Why? Because he made waves. All of a sudden, persecution will be a part of each and every one of our lives. It's something that we cannot escape. I read it in this weekend in the book of Peter. He says, you know what, if you suffer various trials, if for a little while, if need be, why? That the testing of your faith might show the genuineness, that you might glory, honor, and reveal Jesus Christ. Church, you know, persecution is going to come our way. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be people close to us, people that we love, people that we thought. Like Jesus, like Pastor Joey was talking about love, and he was talking about that example of the candy, about the guy who wanted the candy, and he says, yeah, man, you know, my cousin, and then the next day he says, I don't know you. There's going to be people like that one day when we stand out, when all of a sudden we don't blend in, when all of a sudden we're starting to make waves. Those around us, those that we love are going to say, I don't know you. I used to know you. Where did you go? I liked you better the way you were. Why? Because if we were of the world, why? They would love us. But you know what the bottom line is now we are chosen, now we are called, we are royal priesthood, a peculiar people. And persecution is a part of us. Why? Because if Jesus Christ himself suffered it, then you and I ought to understand and ought to be mature enough in our walk with God, mature enough in our understanding to know that persecution is going to come our way. In Luke, the 21st chapter, if you got your Bibles, let's turn to Luke, the 21st chapter. We'll conclude on this tonight. Luke, the 21st chapter. I went too far. Luke, the 21st chapter. Verse number 12. Jesus Christ is kind of talking about the signs of the times, signs of the ends. And I'll just read to you. He says, verse number 10. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Kind of sounds like today's days, right? Verse number 12, he says, but before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering up to the synagogues and the prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers. Why? For my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion to testimony. There's the light at the end of that tunnel when it comes time for persecution, that we can understand that it will turn out for us as an occasion for testimony, a testimony to speak what God has done for our lives, to speak about God's goodness in our lives, to speak about who God is and how great His is, how great He is, and how His grace is sufficient, how His strength is made perfect in our weakness. All of a sudden, those times of trial, those times of hardness, those times when people say, "I don't know you," will turn out because why? Gives us the opportunity for testimony. And therefore, settle it in your hearts. Don't meditate beforehand on what you'll answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You'll be betrayed even by your parents, by your brothers, relatives, friends, and some of you will be even put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Verse number 18, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possesses your souls. And he goes on to speak. He says, listen, you may have harm. You may have people that reject you. You may have people that persecute you, that speak against you, that try to bring accusations up against you, to try to bring you down, to drag you out, to bring you back down to their level. But he says, you know what? Doesn't matter. Not a hair on your head would be harmed. Why? Because all of a sudden God himself has got you. Because why? You and I were called out of this world. Back to point number one. We have been chosen. We are no longer of this world. You know, I think of the example today. I was just, as a matter of fact, somebody posted it on Facebook. I'm not a sports person anymore. I used to really enjoy sports, but you know, I just kind of look over the sports section. I don't really watch very many sports games, but I do know of a football player on the Denver Broncos named Tim Tebow. And you know, you can see right off the bat, if you were of this world, the world would accept your own. As a matter of fact, I heard that one player on a certain team said, you know what, I would really like him if you would just shut up. Doesn't that sound like if you were of the world, they would love your own, they would love its own. But because he kneels down, because he prays, because he talks about God, when they put a microphone in front of his face, the commentators, the athletes, everybody against him, everybody's just waiting, watching, and hoping that he messes up. To the point now where I saw a thing on YouTube, somebody posted it on Facebook where they put a microphone on him during one of their games. I don't know if it was even the last game or what it was, but all of a sudden they put a microphone on him and it was following what he said. And you know, he could talk, you know, you hear the term, you can talk the talk, you can walk the walk. And so if they put a microphone in front of your face after the game, it's easy to say, oh, praise God, glory be to God. Like Pastor Joey talked about last time, you know, last night. You hear after the NBA championships, oh, I want to give glory to God. Some of the athletes say that, and by their lifestyles, they clearly don't live it. So they put a microphone on him during the game so that you could hear what he talks about. And here he goes about the field, talking about, hey, brother, I'm glad to see you. Jesus Christ, I ask that you'd give me the strength, whether I win or lose, to continue on. And he began to speak to people, and he was giving them exhortations. The people, after they would tackle him, he'd raise up and say, hey, man, that was a great play. It's good to play with you. I've been looking forward to playing against you. And I was starting to read the comments, and people were like, man, I used to be a Tebow hater. I used to be a hater, man. But now after watching this, you just got to give the guy respect. Why? Because he's genuine. And you know what? Whether Tim Tebow stays the course or he doesn't, that's the bottom line, is because we are not of God, all of a sudden we stand out. Everybody's going to look at him and say, this guy, waiting and watching, living life in a fishbowl. You and I, we're going to be in a fishbowl, church, and we're going to face persecution. Why? Because he stands out. Why? Because he's a nice guy? No, because he starts to teach about, talk about, speak about the name of Jesus Christ, the name of God, and all of a sudden they don't like it. But when he's genuine, when he lives his life, when he acts the way God has called him to be, it doesn't matter what they do, because now all of a sudden he's become an effective tool. And he's become an eye-opener for the world to see, you know what? It's not about religion. It's not about profession. It's not about what you say on Sunday. It's not about what you hear on Sunday. It's about how you live your life, how you act when you don't think microphones are on. Jesus Christ says to the church, he says, there will be persecution. Why? Because the servant is not greater than the master. And if they sent me to the cross, they're going to persecute you. But the bottom line is, it's like Jesus Christ in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse number 2 says, who? Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, endured the cross. Why? Despising shame. Why? For the joy set before him, that he might sit down at the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ went through persecution. He went through crucifixion. Why? Because the joy set before him that God, that he was going to sit at the right hand of the Father, and he was going to fulfill the prophecy and redeem man unto God. He faced it. Church, you and I can face it. Why? For the joy set before us, that we have a greater crown in heaven. That we have a greater crown in a life that is not our own. You know, Jesus Christ came to this world for each and every one of us so that we might live according to him. So, you know, we have got to understand, number one today, that we are not of this world. Number two, that we don't fit in. We shouldn't blend in. And number three, that persecution is a part of us. Did you guys get something out of that tonight?